Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
There seems to be a lot of confusion today about this question. Does the church go through the tribulation? Well, the answer to that question is no. The confusion stems from the failure to check all the doctrines that are affected if the church goes through all or part of the tribulation. The answer to this question, does the church go through the tribulation, cannot be based solely upon verses that deal with the rapture. I've watched this for decades now, people that debate this question of whether the church goes through the tribulation. They keep going to the same verses, and they go to Greek and every other crazy method to try to figure out what those verses are saying to determine whether the church goes through the tribulation. That's not the only doctrine. The rapture is not the only doctrine that is affected by whether the church goes through the tribulation. You need to look at the composite effect. What other doctrines are affected? For one thing, and this really, really, really helps for you to understand whether the church goes through the tribulation. For one thing, salvation is clearly different in the tribulation than it is in the church. You say, well, it can't be. Jesus has already died. Everybody's saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you've got to dig deeper than that. In the church, we understand. Let's talk about something we understand. In the church, saints are saved by faith without any works involved in their salvation at all. Turn to Romans chapter 4 and look at verse 5. Romans chapter 4. Verse 5, we're of course in the middle of a context here, but a lot of material to cover. You can study the context at your leisure later. Romans 4, 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. All right, clearly. Salvation here is by faith and not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Two verses that you can probably quote without even looking them up. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Watch it, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that tell you? Salvation for church age saints, for you and me, is not of works, totally by faith. Look again, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. What are we doing? We are establishing that salvation in the church age is by faith without works. Titus chapter 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Romans 4, 5 says, not by works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, not by works. Titus 3, 5, not by works. Clearly, New Testament salvation in the church age is by faith without any works involved as far as salvation is concerned. Now, there are other verses, but there's three in the mouth of two or three witnesses, is every word established. I mean, there was a big council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And that council had to decide what place keeping the law had in church age salvation. And you know what their decision was? Their final decision was that salvation is by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary without any works of the law. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 15, you see in verses 1 and 5 what the problem is. They believed, the Pharisees believed, that it was needful to circumcise the Gentile converts and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Peter got up, explained what happened when Cornelius got saved. And he says in verses 10 and 11, "Now therefore," Acts chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, "Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." And so, the decision, James renders the decision, beginning in verse 13, and he says, all right, then they're not going to be keeping the law. We'll ask them in verse 20 to abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. But they did not put them under the law. Why? Salvation in the New Testament is in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary without the works of the law. Galatians 2:16. Paul summarized salvation in the church age in Galatians 2:16 in a way that just clearly states it as being in the faith of Christ and not in the works of the law. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You got it? Church age salvation is by faith without any works of the law. May I tell you something? In the tribulation, salvation is different. In the tribulation, salvation clearly involves keeping the commandments of God as part of the salvation. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. If you don't believe me, look in the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 17. Revelation chapter 12 is a picture of Israel being attacked by the devil. And in Revelation 12:17, the dragon was wroth with the woman, that's Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that's the remnant of the Jews that are left there in the tribulation, with the remnant of her seed, watch it, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They do both. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at it again, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, look at verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that, number one, keep the commandments of God, and number two, the faith of Jesus. That is not a church age saint. What is that? That is a saint, but it's a tribulation saint. And they keep the commandments of God, and they have the faith of Jesus. They keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 is one of the greatest passages of Scripture showing you the difference that Paul wrote in his epistles. In Colossians chapter 2, he shows us in verse 14, for New Testament church age saints, that the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, in verse 14, was blotted out, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's the context. Now look at verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, watch this. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, that's the law, or in drink, that's under the law, or in respect of an holy day, that's part of the law, or of the new moon, that's part of the law, or of the Sabbath days, fourth commandment. Watch verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Well, that's a very, very important verse of Scripture there. Paul tells you, hey, those things that are in the law are coming back. They are things to come. But the body, which is the church, the body of Christ, which is the church, is something different. The contrast, but the body is of Christ. So if you're in the body of Christ, you're not under the works of the law. But in the tribulation, you know what? And we're going to see, they're not in the body of Christ. And therefore, the law comes back in, and it is a shadow of things to come. You say, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. This is Matthew chapter 24 is one of the chapters where so much of the debate is taking place regarding whether or not the church goes through the tribulation. Look at Matthew chapter 24. First of all, verse 15 for the context. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that's the temple, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, those are Jews, flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. What's the problem? Watch it. Verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. You know what you can't do in the tribulation? You can't violate the Sabbath. And so the Lord says in verse 20, when you're praying, pray for two things. Pray your flight is not in winter and that it's not on the Sabbath day. Because if it's on the Sabbath day, you won't be able to go far enough to get away from the persecution. You'll be caught and you'll be killed. Then shall be great tribulation. There's nothing like that that affects the church. One more time, James chapter 2. And I realize with James chapter 2, there's the debate whether the works in James chapter 2 follow salvation or whether they're a part of your salvation. Just look at James chapter 2 and verse 24 in the context of what we're discussing about tribulation salvation. And notice this. James chapter 2 verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Let me tell you something. If you've been paying attention to this broadcast from the beginning, there is no way to reconcile James chapter 2, verse 24, and Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2:16 tells you that salvation in the church age, clearly, absolutely, 100%, does not involve works. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but, contrast, by the faith of Jesus Christ. James 2:24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Those are not the same. And the reason is that James chapter 2, verse 24, clearly, in the context of what we're studying, is connected with tribulation salvation, where there is an element of keeping the works of the law and having faith in Jesus Christ. They're not the same. You know what? That is one of the clearest testimonies that the church is not going through the tribulation, because salvation takes on something that we do not experience in the church age. And to deny that is to deny the clear wording of the Bible. You see, consequently, because there is an element of works in the salvation of tribulation saints, get this, listen carefully. During the tribulation, it is possible for a man to lose his salvation if he fails to keep the commandments, or if he takes the mark and worships the beast. Go back to Revelation chapter 14 and look at the context of verse 12. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Look at the context, verses 9 through 11. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Why, you are not threatened with that in the church age. But in the tribulation, they are. And if anybody who has the faith of Jesus and is keeping the commandments of God fails because of hunger and decides to take that mark, he loses his salvation, and he dies and goes to hell, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Now, when you understand what you just heard, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 begins to make sense. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. Clearly, we're dealing with the tribulation in Matthew chapter 24. Verse 13 says, "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." And we're not talking about the end of his life like the charismatics do, telling you you can lose your salvation. We're talking about the end of the world. Matthew 24:3, that's the context. And the end of the world, we're not talking about the destruction of this world and then the coming of the new heavens and the new earth like we see in 2 Peter chapter 3, not that. We're talking about the end of the world that Jesus is talking about, where the devil loses his control and is chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and Jesus takes over. That's the end of the world. You know, your three enemies are the flesh, the world, and the devil. That's the end of the world. And a man has to endure unto the end of the world in order to be saved in the tribulation. If he doesn't, if he takes the mark of the beast, he loses his salvation. Hebrews chapter 6, one more time. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verses 4 through 6. This verse now, this passage is going to make sense to you if it hasn't before because you understand its context. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. You know what you're reading about? You're reading about a person who loses his salvation, and it is impossible for him to get it back. That's what Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 is saying, among other things. And it applies, this passage of Scripture applies specifically to tribulation saints. If they fail to keep those commandments, if they take the mark and worship the beast. Church age saints, we never can lose our salvation. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, Jesus Christ said. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said. Such a difference between tribulation salvation and church age salvation, showing you that the church is not going through the tribulation. But you say salvation can't be different for tribulation saints than it is for church age saints. And I say, yes, it can, because we've already seen differences in salvation before. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed that you can't find one person in the Old Testament that was born again? Now listen, I said born again. I didn't say saved. I said born again. Certainly people in the Old Testament were saved, but they weren't born again. You can't find one person in the Old Testament that was born again. Likewise, you don't find anyone in the tribulation that is both born again and baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You know why? That's because the body leaves at the rapture. Colossians 2:16, but the body is of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, now we quote the verse on the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We meet him in the air, not on the earth. Why? Because he's not on the earth at this time. He comes before he returns to be on the earth and takes us out of here before the tribulation. Now listen. Just stay with it. Before the church, which is the body of Christ, the souls of Old Testament saints went where? Well, they went to Abraham's bosom after they died. And there they waited for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they could be taken to heaven. That's Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. We've quoted that passage so many times. Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was in hell. Both of their bodies were in the graves, but their souls were in two compartments in the heart of the earth, separated by a great gulf. This is Luke 16, 19 to 31. And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom with Jesus Christ, and the thief on the cross that got saved, that rich man, is over there in hell. Now, you know what happens when Jesus Christ rises from the dead? Those souls that are in Abraham's bosom come out. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 52, even some of the bodies came up at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an earthquake, and in verse 52 of Matthew 27, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept rose. Those are Old Testament saints. what was happening. Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. Jesus was in the heart of the earth, and he was down there in Abraham's bosom, and he led captivity captive. He took those Old Testament, the souls of the Old Testament saints, and he took them to heaven with him. Ephesians 4, 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He took the souls of the Old Testament saints and whoosh, took them up to heaven. That's what happened to the Old Testament saints. They came out of Abraham's bosom and they went to heaven after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, after the church, after the body is gone, the souls of the tribulation saints show up in one of two places. Look in Revelation 6, 9. Revelation 6, 9. This one is outstanding. Revelation 6, 9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw, watch it, under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This is the fifth seal opening in the tribulation. Where are the souls? They are under the altar. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That cannot be a church age saint. That cannot be a person in the church going through the tribulation. Why? All of the souls of church age saints are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus when we get saved. Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, watch it, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why, you can't be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with your soul when you are saved and see your soul under an altar here in the earth for being slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Those are two different places. Can you see the difference? Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom. Tribulation saints go under an altar or into death. Jesus Christ, when you see him in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he says, I have the keys of death, that's one compartment, and hell, that's the other compartment. Revelation 20, 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. Two different compartments. So they're either in death or they're under that altar. Tribulation saints. You know where we go? We go directly to be with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, 8. Absent from the body and to be present with the Lord immediately. And that's because we're born again. And we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ and have already been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Ephesians 2, 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something, man. If you will just carefully digest what you're hearing and quit letting your mind run to, but what about Matthew 24, 31? But what, just get down on this. Salvation and the destination of the souls are not the same in the tribulation and in the church age because the church is not going through the tribulation. Now, when you notice the differences that take place in salvation between the church age and the tribulation, you know what? It's a little easier to see that the church can't go through the tribulation. Now, I'm going to give you some helpful hints of many other things that you can study when you study this doctrine out more fully. First of all, never confuse scriptures that are clearly aimed at Israel with scriptures that are clearly aimed at the church, because they're not the same. Matthew 24, verses 9 through 28, absolutely Israel. Isaiah 45, 4, Israel. Isaiah 65, 22, Israel, all the way. Hebrews 3, 6, Hebrews 3, 14, Israel. Daniel 12, 6 to 13, Daniel 11, 35 to 40, Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 27, all of Daniel 9, all of Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, and many other scriptures. You know what they are? These are scriptures clearly aimed at Israel and not at the church. Secondly, recognize the differences in the three raptures. Old Testament saints came up at Christ's resurrection. New Testament saints come up at the rapture of the church. And you'll see us in Revelation 5, 8 through 10. Tribulation saints come up right before the second advent of Jesus Christ, Matthew 24, 31. And Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, and Revelation 14, verses 14 to 16. When you see the saints in Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 17, these are saints that came out of great tribulation. And they are not the same as the saints that John saw in Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. He saw those saints, he recognized who they were. When he saw the saints in Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17, and the angel asked him who they were, he said, "I don't know, you tell me." He said, "These are the ones that were saved out of great tribulation." Also recognize this, the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 are not in the body of Christ, because each of them has to overcome something to have eternal life. Whereas in the church age, saints have already overcome 1 John 4, 4 and 5, 4. And we already have eternal life. So we don't have to overcome to get eternal life for anything, but the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 do. Why? They're not in the body of Christ. Why? They're not the church like you and I are today. You also need to study the difference between the trump and the trumpet. The trump is the sound the trumpet makes, and when God and Jesus Christ speak, the voice they make is the sound of a trumpet. You see that in Exodus 19, Exodus chapter 20, Revelation chapter 1. So the sound of the trumpet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 is the sound of Jesus Christ speaking. It's not the seventh trumpet being sounded by an angel in the tribulation. And then if you will study out the difference in the tribulation rapture and in the rapture of the church, you will see the Lord sends his angels to gather the tribulation saints in Matthew chapter 24, whereas the Lord himself descends to get the church in 1 Thessalonians 4. Major differences. Now, there's a lot more for you to study when you study out this doctrine of whether or not the church goes through the tribulation. But I'll tell you, if you will just hang with these things you've learned today, go to the internet, see our written notes so that you can study them out more carefully. I'm going to tell you something. It will settle once and for all in your mind. The church does not go through the tribulation. And praise God for that. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.